Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20. Deuteronomy, chapter 20. We'll read verses 15 through 20 together. I'll read this passage responsively. Deuteronomy, chapter 20, verses 15 through 20. Deuteronomy chapter 20, verses 15 through 20. Thus shalt thou do unto all the cities which are very far off from thee, which are not of the cities of these nations, but of the cities of these people, which the Lord thy God doth give thee for an inheritance. Thou shalt save alive nothing that breatheth, but thou shalt utterly destroy them, namely, the Hittites, and the Amorites, the Canaanites, and the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that they teach you not to do after all their abominations, which they have done unto their gods. So should ye sin against the Lord your God. When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down, for the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in the siege. Only the trees which thou knowest that they be not trees for me, thou shalt destroy and cut them down, and thou shalt build bulwarks against the city that make war with thee until it be subdued. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for our church. Thank you for our church family. Lord, thank you so much that your presence is here. The Holy Spirit of God, please do that which only you can do. Lord, there are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people here tonight. There is no way one human could reach all those needs. But you are a big enough God. We have a great enough Holy Spirit to do that in the hearts of each and every person. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
I'm going to read again to you one verse of that series of verses that we read together a moment ago. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 19, "When thou shalt besiege a city a long time in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life, to employ them in a siege." The Jews were coming into the promised land. The Lord is giving them instructions concerning how they will inhabit the promised land and what they are to do when they arrive. He said, "When you come to besiege a city and you find a tree that is bearing fruit, don't touch that tree. Don't cut that tree down." He said, "If you find a tree that's not bearing fruit, go ahead and cut that one down. But the fruit-bearing trees, leave them alone." If you'll recall, in the New Testament, our Lord saw a fig tree, and it was not bearing fruit, and he placed a curse upon it. You see, our Lord wants trees that bear fruit. The Bible says in Proverbs 11, verse number 30, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." What is the fruit of a fruit-bearing Christian? Well, the fruit of a fruit-bearing Christian is another Christian that's bearing fruit. An apple gives forth apple. An apple tree gives forth apples. An orange tree is going to give oranges. A Christian's fruit is producing another Christian, but not only that. A soul winner produces another soul winner. A fruit tree, if you please. Do you know that somehow the natural tendency is to cut down a fruit bearer? Do you know the person that gets the most criticism is usually a soul winner? The natural tendency is for us to cut down fruit trees. I could take you to churches across America, and the most criticized churches in America are the fruit trees, the soul-winning churches. They're the ones that people want to attack. There's not a church in this area that gets as much criticism as this church. And the same thing is true about preachers. The most criticized preachers are the ones that bring forth the most fruit. And the same thing is true about us Christians. You know, somehow we can almost go after the fruit bearers. You know, the devil wants to cut down the fruit trees. God said, when you go into the land, don't cut down the fruit trees. But the devil said, that's the first thing I want you to do. Go cut down that fruit tree. Cut down that fruit tree. The devil wants us to chop down the fruit bearing. He wants us to criticize soul winning. He wants us to criticize the soul winning preacher. He wants us to criticize the soul winning church. He wants us to chop down that soul winning church member. Now, let me tell you something, folks. You just go north of us up in Hagerstown. There are other fundamental Baptist churches that run buses up there. We run buses up there. Well, you want to know something? I'm for them. I want them to bear fruit. This whole thing is all about getting people out of hell. That's what it's all about. Now, I wonder why people criticize the bus ministry. Well, I can tell you why. Because it's one of the big ways you get people saved. They don't. Maybe not everybody understands it, but in the background is old smutty face the devil saying, somebody better criticize that ministry right there. Why? The devil hates the fruit trees. Somebody says, well, I don't like that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Well, I can tell you one of the reasons why. Well, we baptize folks the same service that they get saved, and they don't like the production end of our church. Never had anybody criticize us because we had a Valentine banquet. No, he said, I don't like that church. They had a Valentine banquet. I don't like that church. They had a picnic. You get down to the fact that we keep people out of hell, and what we do around here, so much of it, is wrapped up in getting people out of hell. That's what draws the criticism, folks. There's the real source of the problem. They don't like those long invitations. You know, we get to the end of the service, but we're not at the end of the service. Maybe, you know, that visitor put their shoes on, and boy, they had one foot cocked toward the door. They were ready to run, and then for 15 or 20 minutes, the old choir sings, and the altar's full, and people start getting saved, and somebody's enjoying it. Then we say, we're not only going to do that, we're going to call their names, and we're going to put them in a tank, and we're going to wait for them to get baptized. Now, that's what irritates people. See, there are those that won't like the church. That's because they don't believe, I don't believe you ought to be rewarding those kids for coming to church and having them big days and all that hoopla. That's the part that bothers them. And though the critic may not even realize it, it is the devil trying to get them to attack the fruit-bearing tree. That's the way it is. And so, let me talk to you about this passage of Scripture here, Deuteronomy 20:19, where the Lord said, thou shalt not destroy the trees. The Bible says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. You see, number one, Satan's after the soul winner. Satan is after the soul winner. You know, the devil really doesn't mind a whole lot if you have a deeper life Bible study. As long as you're not keeping people out of hell, he won't oppose you much. But I'll tell you, if a church starts keeping people out of hell, get ready. The devil's going to come after them with a big stick. I think one of our most recent burdens now that we're facing has all to do with it's one of our fruit bearers and somebody that's in charge of one of our biggest fruit-bearing ministries. No wonder the devil's upset. That's the way he is. Satan's after the soul winner. The devil doesn't mind if you organize. But if your organization produces fruit, that makes him mad. The devil doesn't mind if you're for Christian education, but I'll tell you what. If you start seeing a bunch of people say, the devil's going to get upset about that. He has given himself to take everybody to hell that he can. You have to understand, Satan is after the soul winner. When we start getting people saved and getting folks out of hell and preaching the gospel and the altar is filled and sinners get converted, the devil says, somebody better criticize, somebody better attack. Hey, he starts saying to all the hordes of hell, there's the church we're going after. There's the ministry we're going after. There's the person we're going after. It's not because you look nice.
Right.
Because you're keeping people out of hell. You can look bad and keep people out of hell and the devil come after you.
Right.
Satan is after the soul winner. Number two, the soul winner in a church is really more noticed than a non-soul winner. Get this. The soul winner in a church, they're more noticed than the non-soul winner. The fruit tree is noticed. The soul winner, it gets some attention. It's like this in football. I wonder why the quarterback gets all the blame. Well, he's the fellow that's calling the plays. He gets the blame because he's up in front of the people. And soul winners are the active ones. They're out there, hey, they're out there in public representing the church. They're here in the auditorium bringing people down the aisle. They're the ones that are making the move and drawing people toward Christ. So they're more noticed. They're out in front. The soul winner, to a degree, then, lives in a glass house. And because he is more noticed, he tends to get criticized more. You tell me who gets criticized a lot around the church. It'll probably be active people, soul-winning people. There are others that can slip in, slip out, nobody even knows their name. But people usually know who the soul winners are in the church. Everybody's trying to shoot at the fellow on top. And by the way, if you're a soul winner, you're on top in God's eyes. Keeping people out of hell is a big deal. And so, Satan is after the soul winner. And secondly, the soul winner is more noticed and somehow is in the limelight more. Our Lord said, when you come to the promised land and you see a tree bearing fruit, don't chop it down. Let it grow. You chop down the trees without fruit, but not the ones with fruit. And even in Christianity, we have a tendency to go after the soul winner more than we go after the non-soul winner. A soul winner and a non-soul winner can both commit the same sin. You know who we're most apt to correct the fastest? The soul winner. Why? They're more noticed. They're active. Everybody knows who they are. Number three, there are some liabilities of a soul winner. There's some, you know, when somebody's a soul winner, let's face it, in life there are always assets and liabilities. There are positives and negatives. You know, humanly speaking, a soul winner sometimes is not as likable of a person as a non-soul winner. You say, why? Well, when a kind person is likable, we look at them and say, well, I just like him. He's so quiet. Soul winners are not usually quiet.
Right.
Isn't she nice and just the sweetest thing? Well, then you're going to find out that sometimes soul winners have a bit of aggression about them, and they're go-getters. When you become a soul winner, you may not be described as this just soft, quiet, never noticed person. No, soul winners are noticed. See, for every asset, there is a liability. If you're going to have the roses, you're going to get a few thorns along the way. If you have a soul winner, that personality that draws people to Christ is somewhat aggressive. You know, for example, you'll find out soul winners have a bit of a competitive spirit about them. Your best soul winners are usually competitors. You say, why? They're trying to keep people out of hell. They're competing with the devil. The devil's trying to take everybody to hell that he can, and the soul winner's trying to get everybody to go to heaven that they can. There's a competitiveness about them. There's an urgency about them. Soul winners may be intense at a ball game. I'll tell you what. We go over here most of the time, now not all the time, but most of the time you go to a ball game over here at the Christian school, some of those people that are the most intense, they're probably productive at something in life. Intense competitors. Hey, you look in your bus ministry, you've got some people that are just competitive. Why? They're soul winners. You look at some of your finest Sunday school builders. There's a competitiveness about them. Now the devil says, I'm going to go get them. I'm after them. So you just have to understand something. If somebody is a soul winner, sometimes you have to take the assets along, or the liabilities along with the assets. If somebody's going to be an aggressive soul winner, there's going to be some aggression about them. It's just going to be there. See, the same type of zeal and fervor that makes a man a soul winner makes him an intense competitor and makes him sometimes a little difficult. But God said, you leave that fruit tree alone. You say, they're a little aggressive. You leave the fruit tree alone. You see, the Bible tells us that Satan's after the soul winner. Then it is obvious then, because they're active, that they're more noticed. And then you have to understand with the soul winner, there comes an aggression that's a part of their personality, and it's just you have to take the assets with the liabilities. Then, let me give you this observation. The soul winner may appear to be arrogant. Might tend to seem arrogant. Do you know that to be a good soul winner, you may appear a little too confident? You say, why?
Soul winners have got to believe they can win the contest, and soul winners have got to believe they can get a crowd together, and soul winners have got to get the job done. Now, I don't believe that we ought to be cocky. God doesn't want us to be cocky. I do not believe in appearing cocky, but I am going to tell you something. Soul winners are people that step out and believe and go get something done. Now, your more passive personality says they're just arrogant. It may be they're just confident to get out there and try to make something happen for God. You know, I don't know any other word. I'm using the word cocky, but I'll just tell you, successful soul winners, they just step up to the plate. They make something happen. They take on the challenge. They break the ice. They tell someone about heaven. They tell someone about hell. I'm not condoning. I'm not telling you that you ought to be cocky and you ought to be arrogant, but I am telling you this. You're going to have to get something about you if you're going to be a soul winner. And the rest of us, as you see someone that is an aggressive soul winner, be careful labeling them cocky and arrogant. Don't cut down the fruit trees. Don't cut down the fruit tree. You take the churches. If you get a church that's keeping people out of hell and a lot of them, yeah, that pastor might seem a little loud and aggressive. But you better be careful. You cut that out of that church and you'll cut the fruit right off the vine. And I'm not for our liabilities. And I'm not excusing the soul winner's errors or mistakes. I'm not trying to do that. I'm just telling you, sometimes you look at a great soul winner and you say, they're a little cocky. Yeah, I suppose you could read that, but it has something to do with them stepping up and getting the job done. And so, the Lord said, when you get into the land, don't destroy those fruit trees. Whatever you do, don't destroy the fruit trees. See, Satan hates the soul winner. And a soul winner is always more visual. They're seen more because they're active and they're where the spiritual action is. And there's some liabilities that go along with the soul winner. But we take the positives with the negatives. They may seem or appear to be a little arrogant because they're confident and aggressive. But that aggression is a part of getting the job done for God. Don't cut down the fruit tree. See, the soul winner sometimes will be a little more impatient maybe with people. That's what I've noticed. The person who gets the job done for God sometimes is a little impatient with everybody that's not doing anything for God.
Right.
Now, I'm not for us having that spirit toward one another. I'm against anybody having a bad spirit. But you'll find out that a productive person sometimes is a little impatient with a non-productive person. And that is in the spiritual realm as well as in the secular arena. I mean, somebody that's out to work and get the job done, if there's two men with a shovel and they're both supposed to be digging the same ditch, and one guy's a true blue worker, he's going to want to take his shovel to the lazy bum and knock him in the head. There's just something about you when somebody's not doing their part makes you want to kick them in the can. Now, I think God wants us to have patience with everybody, but let me tell you something. If you find somebody that's getting something done for God, if you find somebody that's got some aggression about them, especially about the souls of men, you may have to deal with a little impatience on their part. See, I'm saying that the natural tendency is to cut down the impatient fellow who's bearing fruit rather than the fruitless fellow who's patient. You know who we like? We like the fruitless person that's patient. Why don't we like the fruit-bearing person that's impatient? Because we're more concerned about how we feel than how God feels. God said, don't you mess with that fruit tree. Don't cut down the fruit tree. Again, I'm not condoning the misbehavior of anybody, but I am telling you, it's factual. This is how it works. A soul winner's got some aggression. A soul winner gets a little impatient because others don't care. And it's a part of it. Be careful attacking that person now. Be careful. They're fruit-bearing. They're keeping people out of hell. And just so you know, there's nothing more important for a Christian to do than keep somebody else out of hell. Nothing. 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 You can make Kool-Aid for the church picnic, and I think you ought to. I'm glad for you to, but that'll never take the place of you keeping people out of hell. And I don't know if you'll get rewards in heaven for making Kool-Aid for the church picnic, but I'll tell you this, you'll get a crown for keeping somebody out of hell. Get this. Let me give you another observation about this thing of the fruit-bearing people and the fruit trees and fruit-bearing churches. Fruit-bearing churches are usually a little loud. They are. They're a little loud. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I don't know that I like it to be extra loud. I like quiet. I don't like the noise any more than you do, but if you're going to have a fruit tree, you're going to have some noise. That's a liability that comes along with the asset of having a soul-winning church. Fruit-bearing churches bring in untrained people that don't know how to behave in church. Almost every Sunday morning, I get the privilege of addressing a group of bus kids that sit right over here. You say, why don't we just run them off? You're wanting to cut down the fruit tree. The liability for having a fruit-bearing church is untrained people. As someone says, well, I went down there to that Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church, and on Sunday morning, we got started in that church, and it just didn't seem like there was a holy hush. Guilty. Sounds like a bunch of bees. Sure. And you know what? At your church, everybody there has been there for 40 years. There's not anybody new. There's not anybody that just got saved. There's not anybody there that looks like the world, and you're dead. Let me tell you something. You start bringing in these raw recruits from everywhere that don't know anything about Jesus other than the fact that he's a cuss word. You set them in a church service, they're liable to speak up, spit out, say something, or do something stupid. That's all a part of getting people saved and changing their lives. If you want to, we can shut this thing down, run off any new Christian that comes along, and we can cut the fruit tree down. But let me tell you something. We need every person that gets up and walks out of the service 10 times in one day. Oh, that bothers me. You don't have to go that bad, I'm sure of it. Up and down. But let me tell you something. One of those that are up and down and up and down and up and down that gets born again made it all worthwhile. You see, when you get out there and you bring in 40 or 50 new people a week like we do, they've never been in church, they've never been trained, they don't know how to behave, sure it's going to get loud. Sure it's going to get a little bit unpredictable. Sure. You know, are you going to let the world go to hell so you can have a dignified service? Or are you going to have a little lack of dignity for the sake of getting a new recruit saved? See, that means we're getting the green ones. Didn't he say, go out the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my Father's house might be filled? You can just go right out here on the highway and start picking people up, bringing them in church, see what happens. You think the highway's full of these polished, wonderful Christians? No. So they're going to disrupt. They're going to do things they should not do. They're going to want to go out front and smoke a cigarette. That's just one of our deacons. No. Hey, listen. If you're going to have fruit, you're going to have some green timber. Goodness. We got this new Sunday school building over here. Always probably been 5 or 6 weeks ago. All of a sudden, the fire alarm goes off during Sunday school. And the fire trucks are called out, and they bring the fire trucks down here. Why? One of our fresh fruits pulled the lever. So, 7 days later, during the Sunday school hour, over here in this new building of ours, the fire alarm goes off. Again. Yeah. The guy in charge of the fire department wasn't real happy. He said, what are we going to do about that? Well, we're doing what we can, but I'm going to tell you something. There's also a fire alarm called hell. And every once in a while, these new people that don't know how to behave and don't know how to live, they're going to do something stupid. Just like you used to. Before somebody taught you how. So I can't believe she's dressed that way. You listen to me, buddy. Her soul is far more important than your hypocritical spirit. She needs to be here. She'll be trained. She'll learn. But until then, we can't cut down the fruit trees. They've got to feel welcome. They've got to.
One fella, you know, somebody said to me one day, they said, well, I'll tell you what, your church is just way too friendly. And I said, then you'll need to find another because we're not changing that. We're not changing that. I thank God that we have new people, fresh people, call them green people, who do not know how to behave. Those of you that take care of the children's churches, I know what you go through over there. I know it gets difficult. We never get tired of it. Hey, let me tell you about your Sunday school class. You adult Sunday school teachers, let me tell you if you're doing your job well. Is everybody in your class polished and cleaned up? If so, you're falling behind. Get you some fresh recruits. You know what? I would like to have hundreds of worldly people in our church. Now what they'll do is that they'll take that out of my sermon and post it on the internet. They'll cut that one part out. Let me say it again. I'd love to have hundreds of worldly people in my church. Why? I want to get them saved and pull them out of the world and deal with their inadequacies and their sins and train them and love them and teach them how it's done. Don't cut down the fruit trees. Don't cut down the fruit trees. You know, a fruit-bearing church or a soul-winning church will probably be criticized. They'll say you're proselyting. That word proselyting means you're stealing people from our church. Now, there's no way to keep that from happening. There's no way. A fruit-bearing church, a church that's keeping people out of hell. You know, you see, there are all sorts of organizations out there that call themselves churches that see nobody saved. The minute a soul-winning church starts working on lost people, the churches that don't see anybody saved get mad at that church. They get mad at the soul-winning church. If you're going to be what you ought to be as a church, folks, somebody's going to say, well, you're stealing sheep. See, I believe this. If somebody's going to a church that does not believe the Bible, I'll beg them to leave it. Somebody doesn't believe the Bible, you ought to leave it. Get out of there. You say, go to the church of your choice. That is not what the Bible teaches. You go to the church of God's choice. Not everything that hangs the word church on its sign out front is a church, and people ought not to go to some of those messes. But see, folks, if we're always after sinners and trying to get everybody saved that we can, somebody's going to say, you're stealing our members. We're not trying to steal anybody's members. We're trying to keep people out of hell. Fella said of me, "Fat Brother Owens over there stealing sheep." I thought, I haven't stolen sheep from you. All I know of over at your church are goats. You take a whole congregation of people that are lost and on their way to hell and being told they're okay. Something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. Somebody's going to say, what are you doing trying to take our members? Listen, buddy, I'm doing you a favor. If every one of your members are not born again and we get them saved, you better thank God we might have saved your tail. But a fruit-bearing church is going to have people criticize it. People are going to want to cut that tree down. Let me give you some practical recommendations about this, if I could. First of all, soul winners, you'll be misunderstood, but don't quit soul winning. Soul winners, you'll be misunderstood. There's going to be a little extra pressure, but don't stop your soul winning. Secondly, I want to recommend that we don't go around criticizing fruit trees. When a church is a soul winning church, I don't want to attack it. I want to keep people out of hell. If a fellow's bearing fruit, I want him to bear fruit. If he's a fruit tree, let's see him bear that fruit. It's unthinkable to me that one bus captain at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church would criticize another bus captain at Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Are we not in the fruit business here? Wouldn't it be unthinkable that one Sunday school teacher would criticize another Sunday school teacher at the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church? Folks, are we not trying to produce fruit? That's what it's all about. We better just thank God for the fruit trees. So I say, you soul winners, you're going to be misunderstood, but don't quit your soul winning. Then don't go around. Let's not go around criticizing the fruit tree. Can I ask you, realize something. Don't expect a soul winner to be perfect. Your soul winners will not always be real mature Christians. Do you know, nowhere in the Bible does it say you have to be this mature Christian to get somebody saved. Bible doesn't say that.
In other words, we might get somebody saved in here on Sunday. You might find them out trying to win souls on Monday. You say, they ought not do that. Yes, they should. I think everybody ought to clean up their lives. They'll be better soul winners. But I'll tell you something. I wouldn't wait until you got your life all cleaned up to become a soul winner. You can keep somebody out of hell while you still have problems. You remember the lady at the well at Sychar? She came one day at noontime to draw some water, and the Lord was there. He was weary. He was sitting by that well. And the Bible says, after she met Jesus and got saved, she went back into the city, and she said, hey, come see a man that told me everything that I ever did. She was not a mature Christian. She had not been saved. She had not been baptized yet. She didn't go to one church service, but she went into town and said, hey, everybody, let me tell you what just happened to me. And all sorts of people said, let's go find him. Now, let me tell you something. There are people that know hardly anything about the Bible, that they care about the souls of men. You be careful criticizing them. You've been in church for 10 years and you've never won one person to Jesus Christ, and you're all clean. I'll tell you, there'll be all sorts of people in heaven because of new Christians that got on fire and they weren't even cleaned up yet. They kept somebody out of hell. So my recommendation is that soul winners should be expect some that they'll be misunderstood. And then secondly, let's not criticize the fruit-bearing trees. Men don't always expect that the soul winner will be perfect or mature. This verse, let me read it to you. In John 15, verse 1 and 2, Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it bring forth more fruit. We're to bear fruit. Let me give you another observation, something that you and I need to be careful with in regard to soul winning. Don't criticize someone's strength of soul winning because of other weaknesses. There's something in every one of us that makes us want to chop down the person that's doing more than we're doing if we can find him doing something that we would not do. You better analyze yourself before you criticize somebody. So often, somebody's doing more than we are, so we want to find something that they're doing that's wrong that we're not doing. Why? So we look better than them. There's something in every one of us that makes us want to pull down the fellow beside us and try to chop him down to our size. Did you know that we can discourage and dampen some mighty good prospective soul winners because we cut them down because we don't like something they're doing? Now, I don't think any of us ought to sin. I think every one of us ought to knock it off and clean it up. But since we all are dealing with the sins of our life, let me give you an extra warning. Leave the fruit trees alone. Leave the fruit trees alone. So often people that never win anyone to Christ will criticize a new convert that's winning someone to Christ. Now, I'm glad for you to get saved and live your whole life and seem to live a righteous and a holy life. But you know, God did not save you to set. God saved you to serve, and there's no greater way to serve them than to keep somebody out of hell. I'd be careful throwing someone's soul winning strengths up to them. Don't take away from a person things that he's doing that are right because he did something wrong. I'm not going to throw soul winning up to them because they made a mistake in another area. Folks, don't cut down the fruit trees. I'm finished, but let me conclude by saying this. We need to learn to judge the tree the way God judges the tree. In Matthew 7:20, he said, by their fruit ye shall know them. And the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. So in Matthew 7:20, it says, by their fruit ye shall know them. By their fruit ye shall know them. By their what? Fruit. By their what? Fruit. By their what? Fruit. Doesn't say by their smile. Doesn't say by their steady personality. By their fruit. Doesn't say because they're kindness. By their fruit. We think somebody's a great Christian because they're kind. I think you ought to be kind. I think soul winning makes you a very productive, great person in the eyes of God. I think we need to tell people how not to go to hell. Don't cut down the fruit tree. When you find a fruit tree, help it. Help it. Nurture it. Help it to succeed. See, the devil wants everybody to go to hell. And the minute somebody, whether they're a new Christian or an old Christian, the minute they start bearing fruit, the devil says, let's get them. The devil then goes to influencing even good Christians to say, won't you go after them? And we don't even realize the devil's purpose. The devil is trying to get us to discourage a fruit tree from bearing fruit. Remember, if you're bearing fruit, get ready. You'll be misunderstood. There'll be some that'll turn up their nose. There'll be some that have never won one person to Christ trying to figure out something wrong with you. But the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. The Lord said in Deuteronomy 20:19, when thou shalt besiege a city a long time, in making war against it to take it, thou shalt not destroy the trees thereof by forcing an axe against them. For thou mayest eat of them, and thou shalt not cut them down. For the tree of the field is man's life. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Let's all be careful. It's awful easy because the soul winner, the soul winning church, is seen more. They're visual. It's easy to find things to criticize. But God said, don't go around cutting those fruit trees down. They're very important. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed.